Good morning, saints of God. It is a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord, to be able to wake up and have use of my mind, my limbs. Today is a great day, a special day. You know, I'm exceedingly happy because of what's going to happen this afternoon, but it is truly a pleasure and just a joy to see another day and to be able to hear the voices of my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is truly just a pleasure. First, I'd like to give unto my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for this opportunity. I do not take it lightly. Thank you to my brother and pastor, Jay Robinson, to Minister Luther Robinson, Luther Washington, and I made you, you like a brother, so I made you my brother, and to Pastor Sam Hargrove. I was just thinking the other day, and I want to thank their wives as well and our deacons as well, but I was thinking about a sermon Pastor Hargrove preached many, many years ago that really, I think, took me to the next level of my faith. And it challenged me. It said, do you know him? And I really had to take a step back and ask myself, do I really know him? What do I know of him? I know what mama and daddy taught me, but do I know him personally? And I just want to thank you, Pastor Hargrove, for allowing God to use you to be a vessel, to be able to deliver that great word to me. It changed my life and allowed me to be, I guess, in the position that I'm in today. Let's bow our head in prayer. Father God, we come to you today, Lord, with bowed heads and humble hearts. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to be able to hear a word that is of you, Father God, and that is not of man. Father God, I pray, Lord, that I decrease and that you increase, Lord. May the words that I speak, Father God, is not words of Alan, but words that are of you, Lord. May you be glorified and edified, Father God, to your children, Lord. Speak to them, Father God. Allow us, Lord, to be better than what we were before we came in. Allow us to be changed, Lord. Allow us to be encouraged. Allow us to be convicted. If there's things that are not correct in our lives, Father God, change us, Father God, that we can be more like you, Lord. Change us, Father God, that we can no longer speak the things of this world, but the things of heaven, Father God, to your people that are lost, Lord. Allow us, Father God, to guide us, Lord, and lead us, Lord, in our communities, Father God, to lead them back toward you, Lord. We can only do so much, Father God, but we can do all things through you, Father, and with you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We love you and appreciate you. And we say this prayer in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you can please turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 26. Starting at verse 26. And we'll read to verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 28. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a little gloomy outside, but it's still a beautiful day. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 reads, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. If I can put a title to the sermon, I will title it According to His Purpose. I want to highlight two things and within the scripture. It says the will of God and according to his purpose. The will of God. The will of God doesn't always line up with our will. Our will is sometimes self-gratifying. Our will is more about ourself and how things can benefit us. It's not so much about how things can benefit him and benefit others around us, but it's mostly about us and how we can benefit from the things that we can gain in this world, how the things that can make us feel better about ourselves. But the thing about God's will is about every one of us. And his will for every one of us is to be saved and to be back in back with him in heaven. That is his will, and his purpose is to get all of us who are called to get in line with God's will to do the work of him to bring back all of his children back to him. And we are all his children. The person on the corner, the person in the bar, the person who's on drugs, they are all his kids, but they have lost their way as we have all lost our way at one point. And some of us, we're still trying to find our way. Our will is to be in line with God's will. And God's will is for us to go out into this world and bring back the lost in the wilderness. Verse 28, which I'll focus on, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." All things work together for good to them that love God. The interesting thing about God's will is sometimes that we don't always understand God's will. Sometimes we're not fully informed on what God's plan is for us in our lives. Sometimes God allows things to happen to us to put us in position so that his will can be done. You may not always understand why you lost your job. You may not understand why your relationship ended. You may not understand why certain situations in your life happened. But then at the end of it all, you will understand that it was all for the purpose of God to fulfill his will. Because you are in that position now, you're able to reach someone you would not have reached before because God has put you in that position. If you were still in the same place you were at in your old position and being comfortable, you may have not been able to reach that person that's down and out right now. You may not have been able to minister to someone who has not heard the word, someone who has not had someone speak to them in the way that you can deliver the word. That is your purpose. According to his purpose, is the reason why God has us in the place that we are in right now. COVID-19 is not by accident. Us ministering over the phone is not by accident. Us being in the places that we are not by accident, but God is positioning us for a purpose to fulfill his will. Now we have to be more creative. Now we have to be able, how can I minister a different way to reach his people? How can I go out and do his will a different way? Because God said maybe you being in the church was being stagnant in your ways of delivering my word. So I need right now for you to be more creative and get out and do more. Be out to reach more people in a certain kind of way. And we say, Lord, how can you do that? You're keeping us at home locked in. I gave you the internet. I gave you the phone. I'm giving you opportunity to do things that you may have not thought of before because the situation has changed. But my will is still the same. My will is still to get my people back to me. And that is your purpose. Everything's going to work out for your good. I know it feels like your whole world may be falling down. Your whole world may be crumbling. But it's all aligning for my purpose. And my purpose for you is to prosper. My purpose for you is to become closer to me, to look more like me, because you are my child. You are an heir to Christ in this whole thing because you are mine. So I know we get frustrated sometimes by the situations that we're in. I know we get worrisome about what's happening to us right now, and we wonder why we have been diagnosed with certain things. We wonder why certain things only happen to me. It feels like it happens to you, but in reality, it does not just happen to you. I'm putting this on you because you're strong enough to endure what you're going through. So when you endure it, you can minister to other people, or you can relate to others who are going through it, because you will be able to have a testimony that others may not be able to have. Brothers and sisters, your testimony is powerful. Brothers and sisters, your testimony will uplift others. Brothers and sisters, your testimony will allow you to relate to people that you may have not been able to relate to before because you've been through it. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed by what you went through, by what you're going through, because that is going to connect you to someone else to bring that person in. There's a gentleman I know on Facebook. He was addicted to drugs, and every day he quotes and bragged about being sober and how many years he'd been sober and how crack addiction had him and how he prayed all these nights, and then he's finally sober now, and those words of encouragement are encouraging those who are maybe still in their addiction. He had to go through it so he can come out of it to be able to testify and give a testimony to encourage others. according to his purpose. God doesn't want anything bad for you. He doesn't want you to fall. He takes no pleasure, no joy in it. But you know that all these things have to work together, work together for them that love the God. These things work together for his purpose so that his children can come back to him. And for that, his children can not only come back and just say, we made it over, but they can say, I got to go back and help my brother back down the road. My father used to always say, he said, once you move up that ladder, make sure you reach behind you and lift the person below you up with you. We're on this journey not by ourselves, but together. We are together. We are a family. We are a community. Everyone next to you is your brother and sisters. I take no pleasure, no joy in seeing someone else fall. That's why I pray for those who are against me. I pray for them to be able to realize who they are in Christ. I pray, Lord, give me strength, give me wisdom, give me knowledge, understanding to know who I am in Christ so I can be able to stand the hate that comes from those who are misguided, those who are being used by Satan to hurt me. I can understand and realize what they're trying to do to me. And I realize that my purpose is to be the light in a dark area. There's so much darkness in this world that we need your light to so shine. The scripture tells us about a candle is not lit to be put underneath the bed. The candle is lit to be put on the pedestal so it can light the room. You are the light of the room. You are the light of your job. You are the light of your household. Let your light so shine to this world. Allow you to be able to minister and speak to people that who have not or refuse to hear the word. They are afraid of Christ. They are afraid of the church, but they're not afraid of you. And let your words speak so loud and proud. Let your words be so with vigor. Let your words speak with so much courage and passion that they can see Christ in you. And realize that everybody in the church ain't the same. Everybody doesn't have the same intention. Everybody doesn't have the bad will for them. But when you speak with love because God showed you love. Speak with love. Share that love that God has shared with you. Share it with others. Allow you to be that light in that room. So often we tend to look at ourselves and say that, who am I? I remember a song as a kid my mother and father used to listen to, and the gentleman used to say, I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody. But he realized that he said he was just a nobody, but he knew that he had a power, he had something to give to this world. And brothers and sisters, you have something to give to this world. You have something that's more precious than gold, silver, and any other kind of precious jewel. You have the word of God. That word of God has been instilled in you. That word of God is placed in you for a reason. Not only just to save your soul, but to save those that are around you. You don't have to beat no one over the head with the word, but just share your testimony and share to the world how good God has been to you. The will of God is in motion. It's his will that we are in line with. And sometimes we don't know all the in-betweens, what's happening in the middle, but we know at the end, his will be done. And brothers and sisters, I just want to be aligned with the will of God. And I know according to his purpose, it's working. And it's working for my good. It doesn't always feel comfortable, but it's working for my good. I know that it's going to come together. And when I get to that place where God has me, and I'm like, oh, now I understand, Lord, why you did what you did. Now I understand why I had to lose the things that I've lost to gain the things that I have gained. I understand those things. Last week, I was with my kids, and we was going over the book of Acts chapter 7. If you want to read that, it's a great read. It gives you an overview or summary of the Old Testament. It speaks about Abraham. It speaks about Isaac. It speaks about Jacob and Joseph and Moses. And one thing about these individual stories is that they went through certain things. They didn't understand why they went through them, but at the end, they knew that it was all for the will of God. It speaks about Joseph and If you know about Joseph's story, that he was sold into slavery by his own brothers because they were jealous of him. And Joseph went into slavery in Egypt, and then, a long story short, that he became the second one in charge. And the same brothers that were jealous of him end up coming to him, begging him for help. God put him in position for a reason, to be able to help him later on down the line. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph says this, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." That what you meant to hurt me and destroy me, God had it all in his plan to put me in this position to save lives, not only others, but to save yours as well. That was the purpose of God's plan. And it all worked out. And he understood it. He embraced his brothers. He loved his brothers. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't angry. But he understood what God was trying to do, what God was doing in his life. The story of Moses. When he was a baby, the Pharaoh wanted all the kids, all the male Hebrew boys, to be killed. But his mother would not do it and put him in a little makeshift boat or whatever you want to call it, and put him down the river. And the Pharaoh's daughter got the baby and raised him as her own. He became second in charge. And later on down the line, he became the leader of the Israelites coming out of Egypt. We didn't understand what was going to happen in between, but we understand the end. God had it all set up for his purpose. It was the will of God. So I'll say this and end with this, brothers and sisters. What we're going through right now, there's a purpose and there's a reason for it. This is the will of God. And it's positioning us to be able to push his word farther. It is happening so people can open their eyes and see that God still exists. And that this will draw them closer to God. But they need someone to be able to hear the word, to explain the word to him. And that's your job. It is your job to go out there and say, this is happening because thus happened with the Lord. People are afraid. People are frightened. They don't know what to do with themselves. But you know what's happening because Scripture is telling us what's happening and what's going to happen. Brothers and sisters, spread the word. Share it lovingly. The most important part of ministry is knowing that it's love. It's love. And when we speak, they need to know that you love them. When you talk, they need to know that you love them. That you're not just trying to beat them over the head with something or condemn them. The world has already done that enough to them. You need to show love to them. And this Bible that we have is nothing but a 66 book of love from God to us about how much he loved us, that he gave his only begotten son to die for our sins. There is no greater love than that. And as we go into our communion, we're celebrating that love that he has for us, that his blood was shed for us, for our sins. Not just for your sins, but for my sins as well. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We cannot make it in this world without you, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters of unity. I pray for all my brothers and sisters of every church and all those who may know you and may not know you, Father God. I pray, Lord, Father God, that you opens our mind, open our ears, open our heart to be able to receive a word, Father God, that is of you. Give us a word, Father God, that we can speak to our brothers and sisters. We don't always know what the right things to say, but we know that you know what to say, Lord. And just allow us to be the vessel to go out into the world and speak your word. Love the way you loved us, Father God. Allow us to love them the way you loved us. Allow us to have the same patience you had with us, Father God. We didn't always get it right, and we still don't always get it right, Father God. But you're being patient with us, Lord. And so allow us to have that same patience. Allow us to be encouragers, Lord. But also allow us, Father God, to stand up for what is not right. Allow us to speak for those who do not have a voice. Allow us, Father God, to give to those who may not have. Allow us, Father God, to have the heart that you have, Lord. Allow us to see the things that you see, Lord, or see people the way you see them, Lord. We thank you and we love you, Lord. And we say this prayer in your son Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.